right, thank you for our music tonight, and welcome to those of you joining us on live stream. This is our Lord's Supper night here at Faith Baptist Church. I'm asking you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and the last four verses of that chapter, verse 22 to 25, Colossians chapter 3. I want to talk to you tonight, and I'm talking very specifically to our church sitting here in front of me, and what we will be doing tonight. I want to talk to you about serving. And notice the title on the outline in front of you is A Serving People. That's what we do at church. That's what we do as believers. And I want to talk very personally about just our church and how we serve and what we do and why we're here. But let me read these verses to you in Colossians 3, beginning in verse 22. It says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he has done, and there is no partiality," of course, with God. Interestingly, what we have here is the end of Paul's remarks about being filled with the Spirit. You have to go back to verse 16, where he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." You remember, if we parallel that to Ephesians chapter 5, there we have almost the same wording, but rather than the word of Christ dwelling in you richly, we have be filled with the Spirit. In other words, they're about the same thing. You really can't be filled with the Spirit without the word of Christ dwelling in you richly. And if you have the word of Christ dwelling in you richly, you're going to have the fullness of the Spirit as well. So Paul kind of uses those in interchangeable ways. So notice then that he speaks here to the wives in verse 18, the husbands in verse 19, children in verse 20, and then servants, of course, would be very really servants in those days that served in the household. And we can apply this to servants in the sense of employees at your work, which Paul often does, how you work under someone who's over you. I want to apply these words tonight very really to serving all of us as we serve in this world. I think this is a theme that fits the Lord's Supper because the Lord served us, didn't he? And served us in one wonderful way in coming to this world and being the servant, always doing those things that God commanded him to do, finally, even to the death of the cross, the death of crucifixion, even the cross, as Paul says. So he's our great example of serving. So what is true service? When you think about serving, you think about being a servant yourself. We'd all like to think maybe that we are, but sometimes we just have to look in the mirror and reflect on, are we the servant that we should be? Am I that kind of a person? Because the Bible instructs us all to be that way. Here are just a few thoughts. One is that there's no selfishness in serving. You kind of have to put yourself aside. You can't exert yourself. You can't think that you're better than other people, thinking that they need to serve you rather than you need to serve them. There's really no place for selfishness and building yourself up in that way in service. Being a servant is kind of being on call, as we say, and that is, who knows when your brother or sister needs your help? Who knows that when your neighbor maybe needs your help? Being a servant is just kind of say, if the Lord puts something in front of me, a way to serve somebody, I'm going to try to do it. Maybe you can't always, schedules and everything, you know, conflict, of course, but we're always there to help whenever the opportunity avails itself to us. In serving, there's no need for reward. We don't need the accolades. We don't need someone's applause. We don't need to be repaid for what we do. Serving is serving. Serving is doing it because it's the right thing to do, because somebody needs some help. And so we shouldn't do it, put ourselves out there and say, oh, look at me, look how much I'm serving, aren't I wonderful, type of thing. That wouldn't be a servant at all. It would be very selfish to be like that. Serving is to have a giving spirit. I think all of us have somewhere in us that gift of giving, as Paul describes it in Romans and Corinthians. We have to be givers. Even when we give in our offerings, we're servant-like givers saying, I want to give of what I have. When we give our time, when we have a talent and we use it for the Lord's glory, or we use it to help somebody. But maybe the bottom line is to be Christ-like. The bottom line is to say, what did Jesus do and how did he live his life on this earth? That's how I want to live. And he, of course, was the servant. I'm going to read you some verses about the Lord himself in just a minute. I also, as a pastor of this local church, I want to emphasize, as I said, that this church is a place to serve. As a matter of fact, the local church itself, in our case, Faith Baptist Church, and if you're listening to me from somewhere else, your local church, anybody's local church, is the house of servants, because we're the household of God. We're children of God here. I want you to think of our local church as our home. This is where we live as Christians. Just as you have a home for your reasons, with the people who belong in that home, maybe when the children were little, they all belonged there. What did you do? What did you do for your house? What did you do for your home? You did a lot. You really were the servant for a long time, weren't you? Maybe it was just to wash dishes. Maybe it was to scrub the floors. Maybe it was to paint the house. Maybe it was to mow the grass. Maybe it was to make the beds. Maybe it was to sit up late at night, with babies in your house, whatever it was. You were a servant. That's what you did. And you loved it. You took care of that place. That place was your home for living. And what I'm emphasizing is the local church of the New Testament is our spiritual home. This is where God says for us to be. And I know that I'm looking at a group of people tonight who know that very well, who've been in church all or most of your life. And so the local church to you is a natural place to be. You're here on a Sunday night. You're here to take the Lord's Supper on a Sunday night, a cold Sunday night here in Kansas City even. A few things about the church. Number one, as I said, it's God's design. Notice the family language that applies to the church. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Fathers and mothers in Christ, the family of God, the household of God. The local church is a perfect setting for you to live in. If you're a believer and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in you, you carry around this Word of God, then there's no better place to be than in a local church service. You know why? Because the things that we do here ought to be the very things that a Christian loves to do the most. I hope that you pray at home too and pray other places, but don't we pray in church? And isn't that something that a believer should want to do? You want to pray? Shouldn't we open our Bible and read it? And I hope that you do wherever you go and day by day and so forth. We open our Bible here and we read it. Shouldn't it be a thing to talk to other Christian people about Christian things? And we do it here in this church. Shouldn't we open our mouth and sing? And we do it here in this church. This is a place for Christian activity, the perfect setting for that. And God designed it for that reason. This is the place to give and receive, both giving and receiving. We give. You give of your time. You're here tonight and taking your time to be here. We gave in an offering a few minutes ago. you give in your conversations to people to try to understand what their needs are or what you can do for them. It's a place to receive also. We come with needs. We come needing to be filled. We come needing fellowship. We need friendships. And so there's a lot that we give in a church and a lot that we receive, and that's why we come to do both of those. And I think both of those things are right. I wrote down here, this is the place to learn manners. The place to learn manners. And I'm talking about, how does a Christian live? What are we supposed to be like? How are we supposed to talk? What are we supposed to look like? How are we supposed to greet one another? How do we do all of those things? How is it that a person sits and learns something? All of these are Christian manners, I call them. And we need this in a world that doesn't have too many manners left. And we need to do exactly as we're doing right here. I thought this morning, and I always like this, you know, in our service anyway, in our church here at Faith Baptist Church, we would be considered very slow for a lot of people's lifestyles. But you know, you need that. Chuck, you're way in the back of the very last row, and this morning Chuck read our scripture up here at the platform. He had to walk from the back of the auditorium to the front, right? And so you know what we did? We waited for him. Isn't that the polite thing to do? Isn't that what you would do if you had manners? And, whether it's Kent or Gordon, and they're sitting out here, it's time for them. We wait for them to walk up here, right? That's okay. You know, a few seconds sitting quietly, waiting for the next person to do what they're supposed to do. All these little, to me, it's manners. It's the way a Christian should live, and God designed this church to be that kind of place where we learn those kinds of things. This is the place to model Christianity. You're nice. Most of you look nice tonight. You know, you talk nice to one another. You shake hands and greet. You say hello. You'll say goodbye. All of those kinds of things, you model Christianity. And if someone who doesn't know Christ at all, read 1 Corinthians 14 again. When somebody comes in and doesn't know Christ, and if they saw confusion in the church, they would say, these people are kind of crazy. But Paul says, no, rather, if you model Christianity in your church, he says they will even fall down on their face and say of a truth, God is in you. Isn't that what we want? That's what we want people to do. And I would say, lastly, in my little list here, this is the place to raise a family. I think most of you that I'm looking at tonight have already done that. I wouldn't trade a week of it. In the years that it took for us to raise four kids from the time they were born to the time they left home and went off to school or the time they got married or whatever they did, I wouldn't trade a week of it, of raising them in church. And though church to this generation may seem like something a little different, something a little too slow, something a little too quiet, I don't know, you know, whatever it is, I wouldn't trade it for anything, and I wouldn't put my kids in anywhere else before putting them here. And I hope that every mother and father realizes that. You're not going to be able to raise Christian kids in this world if you don't raise them in church. It will not happen. And so we need to know that. We need to model that here in our church. Now, having said those kinds of things, from our text here, as we read, you'll notice if you have a bulletin or if you're looking at the screen, you see four verses and I have four thoughts. What I'm saying is, to be a serving people, we need to serve sincerely, verse 22, heartily, verse 23, knowingly, verse 24, and fearfully from verse 25. Before we do that, and I am going to, in each of those points, just list you some verses. I have to tell you, this weekend, I spent some time with my concordance, and I just went through verses that had to do with servant, serving, servanthood, and those kinds of things. And I'm just taking a few of them. Of course, the Old Testament is full of those, Proverbs, Psalms, of course, and a lot in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let me first of all remind you that it's the Lord Jesus Christ who modeled servanthood. He was the servant of God. He was the Son of God. He's the second person of the Trinity who came from heaven to do hard work, to give of himself, to not take, but to give. In Isaiah 42, verse 1, Isaiah says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold." This is God speaking about his Son, Jesus Christ. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles." He's God's servant. And again in Isaiah 52, 13, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high," because he will one day reign as king, of course. Isaiah 53, 11, "He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Those verses out of the book of Isaiah about the servant. And you know, even the Gospel of Mark is the gospel of servanthood, and Jesus is the servant to mankind. But let me finish these verses. Matthew 12, 18, and these are in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John also. "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will show judgment to the Gentiles." Of course, that's the quote from Isaiah 53. Matthew 20, 28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." I said, you know, we come to church and we give and we take. But primarily, folks, if we would come with an attitude that Jesus had, and that is to serve and not be served, if we would be around one another in church and in fellowship and everywhere we live, to be the servant rather than looking to be served, it would make a world of difference in our world and in our lives. Acts 4:27 says, "Truly, against your," here are the disciples being persecuted, and they're quoting from the Old Testament, "against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, they were gathered together," of course, against him. And in verse 30, "by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by your name, through your holy servant, Jesus." I could go on and on with the verses that talk about Jesus as the servant. Remember again that here is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from all eternity in heaven, and God creates a world of human beings that sin against him and fall into sin, and the whole world and the whole human race, made and born in the image of God, the whole human race are headed to an eternal hell because of their sin. And God says, what are we going to do about that? I'm speaking facetiously. Of course, he knew what he was going to do about it. But it was that God the Son would come and become a man simply to die by crucifixion on a cross and be hated by this world in order to die and give himself for the world. That's what he did. And he did it as a servant. And so that servanthood, he did always those things that pleased the Father. Whatever God the Father said, this is what you will do and this is what you should do, Jesus Christ did, to the point of becoming obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. As Philippians chapter 2 calls it, the kenosis passage, he emptied himself and became obedient. He emptied himself of all the prerogatives that he would have had in heaven and came to be a servant for you and me. So he's our model. He's our example, of course, and that's who we follow. So notice just a few things here. First of all, in verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Now, that could apply to a servant in the days of the Roman Empire. It could apply to you as an employee in the place that you live, but it ought to apply to you also in everyday life. As a matter of fact, even in church life. Here are some verses that I kept that spoke of sincerity. Psalm 119:17, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Mark 10:43, yet it shall not be among you, Jesus said, whoever desires to become great among you will be your servant. Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have not been called to liberty, or have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity to the flesh, but through love serve one another. 1 Timothy 2:24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. And one more, 2 Timothy 1:3, where Paul is praying and says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, before my forefathers, that without ceasing I have remembrance in you in my prayers night and day. So with a pure conscience, sincerely, we serve God. Let me just point out a few things about a local church. This week we served a meal to a family. And everyone in this church that could and was available that day chipped in to do it. It seems like a small thing. You made a bowl of potatoes or salad or something like that, and you did it and brought it here for somebody else so that somebody else could have an easier day and have a meal. There's no little thing about that. Somebody made decorations for a bulletin board or for the table centerpieces as we ate this week. Somebody cleaned the church. Did you know that? And somebody does that every week. Cleans the church so that we come in when we do, and things are nice and clean and antiseptic as much as we can make them. Somebody did that. You know what? That's serving. Somebody ushered and passed a plate down an aisle for you and walked up and down here so that you could do that easier, so that you could give easier. Somebody opened the door for you, handed you a bulletin, greeted you as you came in. Somebody turned on the lights and somebody's turned on the microphone back there so that you could hear me. And you know, sometimes as I've grown up in church and I've pastored all my life, sometimes I hear people kind of making light of these kinds of things as if, you know, well, you need to be out there in the world serving. And I'm not minimizing being out in the world serving. You understand? We all go out there to serve. And I'm talking about what God built right here, what God made. And why we have this meeting and why we do what we're doing. And it takes all of us and our little ways of serving to make it go around. And that's what happened this week, and it happens every week in this church. We serve sincerely, people just wanting to help somebody else. And I thank you, and I know God thanks you, and so do other people. Secondly, we serve heartily. Verse 23 says, he says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That's the way we ought to serve. Psalm 100 and verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, do it heartily. John 13:16, most assuredly I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. Romans 7:25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. And Romans 12:11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And so when we do these things as unto the Lord, we need to do them heartily. Do you sing that way? Kent, were they singing that way tonight? Okay, a little bit. You know, the Bible commands us to sing. Where else do you sing? Who else asks you to stand and sing a song? Anybody in this? Did they do that at the restaurant when you were there? Did they do that at the grocery store? Stand up, would you, and sing a song to us? We ask you to do that here, and we ask you to do it heartily, because most of you people don't want to hear sing anywhere, but we want to hear you sing. And blended together, it's a beautiful sound. And Barbara plays a piano here over here for us so that we can stay somewhat on tune, you know, when we sing. And Gordon or Kent lead. This is serving. It's doing what we should. How many times have I bragged upon us just fellowshipping with one another? And how much I love it. It's part of my life to hear the talk and the chatter and the friendliness of people before and after a service. Where else do you do that? Well, that lady before me in the checkout line, she did it with the cashier for about a half hour. But other than that, no, you don't get a chance to stand and talk with people this long. My neighbors won't stand and talk with me this long, you know, as we do. It's a great thing to do. And we have our meals where we sit across the table from one another and we do it. Maybe we have some project in the church and we're working on something, or like you folks who clean every week and that kind of thing. This is all good stuff. This is our house. This is where we live. This is where we do Christianity. If we don't do it here, folks, don't talk about leaving these doors and going out there and do it. Because you can't do it here in this perfect setting, I guarantee you, you can't do it out there. So it starts right here at home, serving heartily with the things that we do. And then thirdly, I have serving knowingly. So in verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. What does that mean? It means that when we serve the Lord Christ, we know that our reward is not in this life, but we have an inheritance, we have a reward to go to. It's enough for us in all of these ways that we will be rewarded in the next life. We will be rewarded at the Bema Seat of Christ. We don't need it here. Now, it's nice when somebody compliments you and somebody helps you and somebody, rewards you in some way. Okay, but no one asks for it. No one is doing it just for that reason. We're doing it because we want to serve. And so our inheritance comes later. Those of you who teach, put in time to teach. Those of you who lead in prayer and come to prayer meeting and take your prayer sheets home and pray for those kinds of things. Tonight, we will watch our deacons, whom, you know, a deacon has a good place in a church. It's honored in the Scriptures. Paul often does that in Titus and in 1 Timothy, honors, and Acts chapter 6, honors those men who serve in that office. But you know what they'll do for you tonight? They'll serve you at this table. We come to the table of the Lord, and they're going to serve you. They're going to walk up and down this aisle. They're going to pass the plates back and forth. They're going to serve you. And I want to turn around and serve them. So people who lead need to put themselves in a place. And even though this is the Lord's table, and it's kind of a formality, and yet we're learning manners by doing it. We're learning Christian manners by serving one another in the way that we're doing it. So thank you for all of that, or reading Scripture, or leading in a song, or taking up an offering, whatever you do. Do it knowingly, knowing that your reward is in heaven, not on this earth. And then lastly, serve fearfully. So in verse 25, here's kind of the warning, of course. He who does wrong then will be repaid for the wrong which he has done. Because there's no partiality with God, whether in doing good or doing wrong. And so what that means is, we'll stand before the Lord someday. We'll stand before our Lord at the Bema Seat of Christ, and we will lose some otherwise rewards because we wanted our reward down here. Because we wanted it now instead of later, and we'll lose it later for those reasons. So he warns us. There's a reward to lose also if we don't do it the right way even here. We know that our reward is at the Bema Seat of Christ. Let me just say this too under this last point. We often talk about faithfulness at church. And that's the way it should be. God's people are gathered together. They're going to do Christian things. They're going to create an atmosphere that's a perfect atmosphere as much as we can have on this earth. We're going to do the things of God, and we want to be there. And even when it's hard sometimes, and that's why I say to young families, and it isn't easy, I know, picking up all those kids and getting them ready and bringing them to church, they need to be here. They need to kind of grow up saying, that's what, it's church time, that's where we're going. It's a good thing. And all of you sitting here tonight are faithful people who, unless otherwise hindered, the doors are open and you're here. That is a good thing to do. After all, you do that at work, don't you? You know, it's time to be at work, you go, whether you feel like going to work that day or not. And faithfulness to the Lord's house is much the same way. We call this worship. I often say we don't come together to worship. We're worshipers who come together, and that should be true. But, hey, we are worshipers, and coming here is the easiest place to do what we do, easiest place to worship, easiest place to praise God. So keep on keeping on. Keep on doing these things for the Lord. So these are just reminders that I want to remind you. But one more time. There's no greater servant than our Lord Jesus Christ, who will be King of kings and Lord of lords. But no one lowered himself lower than the Son of God himself on Calvary's cross so that you and I could have eternal life. And there's no greater obedience than the Lord Jesus obeying what the Father commissioned him to do. And no greater sacrifice that came out of that obedience than a broken body and blood that was shed for you and me. And so it's right that we come together periodically to take symbols, just grape juice and unleavened bread. And with these symbols, we remember what Jesus Christ did for us. And remembering how he served us ought to also translate into us serving one another. And that's partly why we do it. And so I think for our emphasis tonight, I just wanted to emphasize that is what the Lord's Supper also is all about. So let's pray, if we will. Bow your heads with me and let's pray, and then our deacons will come and prepare the table for our supper tonight. Father, serving is a hard thing for people with a fallen nature. And we have that, and we're pretty selfish many times. We're self-centered. We kind of want the world to rotate around us. But, Father, serving sometimes is a hard thing to do. And so we realize that we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to see what he did, and we need to do the same. And so, Father, as we come to the Lord's table tonight, we see in this real picture what he did for us. And I pray, Father, you would speak to our hearts too and cause us to serve in the same way. So bless in this time that we come to the Lord's table in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, men, if you will come, we'll prepare the table.